Well, we started a series in the summer on Psalm chapter 119. As many of you have probably figured out the last few days, it is not the summer right now. And we've went through it over there. We have actually haven't been on a Thursday night. We've had the guys preaching for the last, since before Christmas. But this will be the last lesson on Psalm chapter 119. And so the lesson we've been looking at is just the influence of the Bible in our life. We already know, I'm not going to belabor it, that the Bible is the source of instruction and wisdom in our life. And that's what Psalm 119 is all about. And so what we are doing in this final lesson and the ones that preceded it, just looking at some of the key verses in there and learning some principles. Number three in this lesson, and we started it about a month ago, the last time I taught on this, and so I'll give you a quick update and then we'll finish it up. There was some stuff I didn't say. We said number three, wisdom is tied to the knowledge of the word and not the knowledge of the world. Verses 98 to 100, that through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Now, we mentioned that understanding, knowledge, and wisdom should be measured by our comprehension of the word and not our involvement or knowledge of anything in this world. Wisdom has nothing to do with IQ. IQ really has to do with being able to remember and process some facts and things in life and figure things out on a straight level, but not necessarily on a life level. And so someone can have a high IQ and yet their life is a mess because they don't have wisdom. Think of it this way. Just because you're smart doesn't mean you're wise. Okay? There's a little verse in the book of Job, and it says, great men are not always wise. In other words, people that we consider to be great in this world, we lift them up because they're an athlete or because they're an actor or because they're, God help us, a politician, and we lift them up because of a position. That doesn't mean they're wise. The fact of the matter is, many times, they are not wise. And so we need to understand that. The greatest knowledge we could have is a knowledge of God's word. As we mentioned, most Christians, if they are honest, are discipled more by the world than they are by the world. When we talk about teaching them, we talk about learning the word of God, being discipled around the word, understanding the principles of God's word so that we can be wise and we live it in our lives. And the word of God disciples us, and God can use people to help us with that. But the fact of the matter is, the way most people choose to think and live is determined more by what they're hearing by the world than what they hear by the word. And that's a shame, particularly for Christians. The majority of our Christian young people are not necessarily in our church, but in the world, are schooled in our godless, evolutionary teaching, immorality approving, government-run institutions. And then we wonder why over 90% of them walk away from church the second that they can. Okay, you can't overcome in 2 hours or 3 hours of church what is being crammed into their minds 40 hours a week at a godless teaching institution. Yes, sir. And it's, by the way, it's not just teaching institutions. You can learn that stuff also on your iPad and on the internet and on your phone and all that thing. If you ask a Christian, any Christian who seems semi-committed to God, they'll tell you of their love for the Bible and how much they believe it. The fact of the matter is, if you look at their lifestyle, it teaches you something very, very different about them. Everything we do should be founded in what God says. Now, with all of that being said, looking at the verses, it talks about three people that we can have more wisdom and understanding than. And I believe this is in your notes. Look at verse 98. That through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies. We can have more wisdom than worldly enemies. Now, technically, the Christian has, we always talk about the enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil's really the mastermind behind all of it. We have this flesh that we have to fight, how it tries to push us towards sin, but Satan uses it. But Satan will also use the people of this world, not necessarily by possession or something by that. You look at the principles of this world, and it just amazes me. It was not just, what was it, 4 years ago when they came back with approving the homosexual marriage. And as soon as that was done, transgenderism jumped in. And it'll be something else. And anybody that can read, and now it's like you don't even know if you're, now you can just decide to be a boy or girl. We understand all that. And that's been around the pipe for 4 years now, where it's really been pushed. And now, if you don't believe it, you're weird. Anybody with an IQ past an ice cream cone knows that a guy that says he's a girl doesn't make him a girl. Okay, and you could give whatever example you want, and it's like, how could someone actually believe that? Because they're so far from God, they're so far from the principles of God, you eventually buy into stupidity. Okay. But that's all Satan. But we need to understand that when we use the term enemy, and it's Satan, if someone is pushing something that is godless, they're not really our physical enemy. Because we know that the battle we face is spiritual. Now, it may manifest itself through people. Our government, for instance. And by the way, it's getting worse, not better. And everything you see, you can't look at a magazine or something and they'll present two guys with a baby as a family just as valid as a man and a woman with a baby. That's nonsense. But yet it's just out there. The point is, when it comes to this, that we should not feel inferior to anybody mentally and socially. That's what the enemy tries to put on us. You know, that we're inferior and we're just these Bible-believing Christians and we're so shallow and we have an ancient book that's so out of touch with society. No, society is out of touch with the Bible. Right. Society is out of touch with God. So never feel inferior. Number two, he talks about worldly educators. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Those that are presenting themselves as knowledgeable in certain things. By the way, our world used to teach, and our schools used to teach, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Now we teach marriage, the definition of marriage, definition of who you are. It's just a bunch of garbage and political nonsense that's being piped into our society. Fact of the matter is, you don't watch commercials because they're indoctrinating. They're indoctrinating. Gillette, I heard, I have a Twitter account and someone put it on Twitter and I saw the commercial. Gillette's put out a commercial slamming manhood. That if you're a real man, then you're going to end up, you're going to be part of the Me Too movement, and you're going to beat up kids, and you're going to be this, and it shows little boys wrestling, and they shouldn't wrestle. Listen, that's what boys do. It doesn't shock me. They're trying to rip our world of masculinity. That's why guys are dressing more in clothes that would have been considered girly 20 years ago. And some of you kids don't get that, but that's where they're going. They want you to be a girl, okay? And they want to blur the lines. Message I heard many, many years ago, probably 40-something years, 45 years ago, unisex. Talking about this is coming. Man, we're living it. Okay, if you show any type of masculinity, you're going to be a bad person and beat your wife and kick dogs. Okay, that's just ridiculous. And by the way, that's not a real man anyhow. Okay, any man that would mistreat his wife or something like that's not a man. So let's just throw that out there. But I don't know how I got off on that, but I feel pretty good about it. But worldly educators. Someone was telling me that they're going to pass out in our school system books starting in kindergarten teaching the children to question their gender. What do you feel like today? Can I just tell you something? Take this for what it is and deal with it. No one is born an atheist. No one is born a homosexual. No one is born a transgendered. We are taught that. And it's confirmed. Like, well, you're a little more, not compassionate. What's the word? You're a little more sensitive than most boys. Maybe you're a girl. No, he's just a guy that's a little more sensitive. You're not a girl. Right. You know, well, she's just a little more masculine. Well, stay away from her, okay? If your wife can beat you up, you have issues, okay? I mean, take jujitsu or something. Get over that. The point is, we're taught that. And once we lost our public school systems in the 60s, that's when all this stuff started slowly creeping in. Didn't happen on accident. Now they look back at songs and movies of a generation ago, and those are politically incorrect, you know. And there was a song that used to be, I don't know if it was a Christmas movie or a winter movie, Baby, It's Cold Outside. Not that I like that song, but that's sexist, you know. Really? It's a song, dummy. Okay, it's like they're just trying to go back. You know, it'll come to the point where Andy Griffin shows bad because he spanked his kid. Okay, Opie needed it too. And by the way, if you know how Opie acts today, he really needs a spanking. He's a liberal. But anyhow, let's get back to the Bible. Worldly educators. And then last, worldly elders. I understand more than the ancients. Now let me say this. I think that we do not have a respect of our old folks. That's why this, if they want to die, let them die. It's very dangerous because what will happen is they'll start forcing people to be killed who don't want to die just because they're older and they're a nuisance. By the way, it's already happening in Europe and some of the other countries over there. And I think we ought to have more definitely respect for them. But just because someone is old and has been around for a while doesn't necessarily mean they're right. Also, just because you have a PhD doesn't mean you're right. It has to all say so. So what are you saying? What is right? It's very simple. Not what I think. Not what you think. Not what anybody else thinks. You know what we have to go back to the foundation? We have to go back to the foundation right here. If I believe something and it's not in this book, then I can believe it, but I'm wrong. Okay. Worldly elders. So what the point he's making is, listen, we know the word of God, we'll be all right. Now, he also gives us the reasons that we can have more knowledge and understanding. How can we? By, number one, consistent exposure to Scripture. He says in verse 98, for they are ever with me. Now, it doesn't, and by the way, that doesn't mean that he just held the Scriptures and carried it around with him all the time. In other words, it was something that it was always with him. It was a part of his life. It was a part of his daily routine. The Scriptures weren't just something, a book that you carry to church on Sunday, and then you're here on Thursday, so you go home and set it down, you pick it up for Thursday. And then you go home after Thursday and set it down, you pick it up for Sunday. No. It's a vital part of our life on a daily basis. And if we have that, it can help us. Understand this, inconsistent Bible time results in an inconsistent Christian life, right? Some of you, like, you try to be a consistent Christian. You really do. And by the way, none of us are perfect, okay? But you may struggle with some serious inconsistencies, and maybe you get frustrated with yourself. And it's like, man, why do I struggle so much? Why am I so inconsistent? Well, let me ask you this. Are you inconsistent with your Bible? Are you inconsistent in any spiritual discipline? Whether it's coming to church, reading your Bible, spending time with God, whatever it is. Because if we're inconsistent, it's going to result in inconsistencies in our life. And so we want to work on that. They are ever with me. Number two, concentrated examination of Scripture. Verse 99, for thy testimonies are my meditation. What do we think about? When we meditate, it means not just daydream. It means we're thinking about something so we can understand it. And we can gather the truth from it. By the way, understanding helps us to get knowledge and helps us to have wisdom once we so we meditate and we think about it. When you have a situation in life, let me ask you this. Is your first thought, let me think about what the Scripture would say about this? Is there a biblical principle taught in the Bible that relates to what I'm doing, to what I have to do, the decision I have to make? And we think about it. We meditate on it. We don't want to just have the Scripture be one in one ear and out the other. Come on. Maybe something you read in the morning, and the verse just kind of hits you. And as you're just through the day, you kind of think about it a little bit. That was a good truth, and that was an encouragement, and that helped me. Concentrated examination of Scripture. Number three, our committed experience from Scriptures. Verse 11, because I keep thy precepts. because he was willing to obey it. Reading the scriptures, which is a constant exposure, the consistent exposure, thinking about the scripture, concentrated examination, will lead to our committed experience. We will do what it says. There's a good three-step process for success. It's mentioned in the verse in Joshua about meditating on scripture. We hear the scripture, we meditate or think about the scripture, and then we obey it. God says if we do those three things, we'll be successful in anything we do because scripture is dominating our life. Let me just ask this question before we move on. Could it be that the reason we don't have a biblical lifestyle, some people call it We don't have a biblical lifestyle, we don't have a biblical worldview, is that we don't want to obey the word, we want to go our own way, we want to do our own thing. That's where it comes from. Having a biblical lifestyle means I try to match my life up to what the Bible says. Having a biblical worldview is just that. I try to view this world through the principles of the scripture. But a lot of times we just don't want to do that because we know that it might involve a change on our part in our lives, and we don't want that. Now, along the lines of that, number four, the Bible should affect our lifestyle and our beliefs. The Bible should do that. Psalm chapter 119, you see verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Now, this verse speaks and manifests in two different ways. Letter A, from verse 101, a desire for obedience determines the life that we live and the actions that we take. Okay? He wanted to keep God's word, therefore, he refrained his feet from every evil way. In other words, his response to the Bible determined how he lived every evil way, the way he would live his life, doing something that's disobedient. We usually try to flip obedience into the actions we want to take. Do you know, you can basically try to explain away anything that you want to do or you don't want to do. People are good at that, right? By the way, Satan, if you're trying to think about you're doing something, you kind of get an inkling that it's wrong. Satan will always help you to justify it by your thinking, you know? After all, you know this. Well, after all that, that's just wrong. Okay, but we want to do is we take the way we typically live, and we're going to try to fit it into the Bible. We're going to find a hopping off point or an exception clause. There is no exception clause. This is not legal mumble jumble. You know, there's an exception in there somewhere. There isn't. There's no exceptions. God desires to make us different for the better. And so when we have a desire to be obedient, it will change our life and the actions that we take. That means we will change. Now, here's the issue, and I know this, you know this. People hate change. They do. No one wants to change. You know, we get set in our ways. And by the way, there are things that I'm set in my ways. You know, just in my life. Certain things we do at certain times, you just kind of get used to it, and that's what you do, and that's the product you use, and that's the thing you use. I'm not talking about that. But in our life, we get set in our ways, you know, in the way we live, and it may not be right, but it's like, you know, after all, that's just what I've always done. God comes along, and we became a Christian, and God starts chipping at us and says, now, that needs to change. Some of us don't like change. It's hard. I'm going to ask you this. If you struggle with change, there's two questions you need to ask yourself. Two. Okay? Here's the first question. Am I saved? Now, if you can't genuinely say yes to that question, then the second question is irrelevant. You're never going to change. You're not going to have God's power because you're not his child to change because you're not one of his. Spirit of God doesn't dwell inside of you. So if that's you, then that's the first step. You need to get saved or you're never going to change. The second question is, do I really want to be obedient? Is that what I really want in my life? Do I really want to be a Christian that says, if it's in the Bible, I just think that I should do it?
Amen.
By the way, that's where every Christian should be. But most, like, you know, I just, and sometimes people even come here and it's like, you know, you're kind of just a little too practical. I'm going to go find me a church somewhere where they just kind of, you know, just kind of everything's pop psychology, and they don't really use a Bible. If they do, they have a little television screen or a little, you know, whatever, and they throw something up there. By the way, you can tell that type of church by, do people bring a Bible with them to church?
Yeah.
A lot of times they don't, because they don't expect to use it. Okay? You know, it's just a little, we may read a verse or pull something out of context and have a really good time, but it's not scripture. Do I really want to be obedient? Letter B. A desire for understanding determines what we think about our life and this world. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Now, yes, that means, that would mean also, I believe that he would not live a false way, but it's more than that. It started with an attitude or a belief system. Before I have understanding, therefore, I think about the false way and I hate it. I know it's wrong. I'm going to be against it. It's more of a conviction type things. Hating a false way, an attitude, conviction. It's how we look at things in life. Too many Christians are willing to be Christians, but yet seemingly live in a non-Christian way. You know, just principles. What's important to you? Right? If the Bible's important to me, I'll make it a part of my life. If church is important to me, what do? I make it a part of life because God says it's important, so it's a conviction of my life, and obviously it is to you. You're here. Now I'll ask you this. Are you going to be here in 2 weeks on Sunday night? See, we have a huge pagan holiday coming. It's called the Super Bowl, right? Now look, I like the Super Bowl. We watch it every year. Now we record it, okay? And after church, we get like some spiritual food, like pizza.
Yeah,
I like Izzy's. I quit drinking soda, and I hope Izzy's not a soda. I kind of like those things. But anyhow, we watch it. We record it, and we watch it. Now I've said here, I'll never, ever cancel or change the time of our service so we can watch the Super Bowl. There's just something about doing that sends a message to all of our little guys and ladies here that, oh, church is not as important as football. But now you do need to pray for me because the Rams are one game away. And Brother Nick, it's never really been a conviction with me. It's kind of a preference, you know? So I'll let you know after Sunday. Just kidding. But you know what? I know good churches that cancel church. Good churches. You know, we'll just go home and watch it and have a Bible study. That's garbage. You're going to go home and watch football and eat Doritos. And you're probably a Raiders fan anyhow. Pray for you. But I'm just picking on a Super Bowl, just getting you ready for that because we're having church, okay? And either way, no one's going to tell you the score. Well, you can go home and watch whoever it is lose is going to lose. The point is, we live our life and we don't want to make convictions. We don't want to find out what principles say and say, that's a false, I'm gonna stay away from that false way. You know why? Because in some cases we simply enjoy it. And we simply just don't want to do that. But we should. It should affect us. Lastly, number 5, and I'll just spend a couple minutes and we're done. The Bible gives us the direction that we need in this life. It's a great little verse, and I think we all know it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You ever see somebody that's struggling in life and the description someone might give of them is that they're directionless, right? They have no direction. You know, it just seems that nowadays in our colleges, you know, people want to be in college until they're 40 and then start a family or whatever, all that stuff. I don't want to be a professional. I want to know what I'm doing in my life. Now, even regardless of your career, just like what's going on in your life, you have direction. I mean, is there something you're connected to? Do you know where you're going to? Well, as a Christian, the Word of God will give us that direction. Now, He gives it to us in two ways. Letter A, a lamp for daily direction. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. They live the little candles or whatever on their feet as they walk so they can see where they're walking. That's your next step. You know, that's kind of like for daily living. when you get up tomorrow, you know, if you spend time with God or you're trying to be a good Christian and you just want to honor God tomorrow, you know, let him direct your path tomorrow. You say, oh, okay, I feel led. God's directing me not to go to work. No, I'm not saying that. You do the things you're supposed to do, but let God lead you. You know, somebody at work is mean to you and this, you know, you kind of feel like, you know, maybe I shouldn't lash back at them. That type of thing. What am I doing today? Just God brings someone your way that you can help. But God gives us direction for our daily life through his word. But then he gives us, letter B, a light for future direction. That's the lamp. That's a light unto my path. That's farther down the road. See, we follow God on a day-by-day basis, but God's got something for us down the road that we can get to. And God will give us direction there. I believe this. You say, man, what is, you know, we always talk about God's will. Where does God want me to be? What's going on? Who am I going to marry? You know, what's happening? What does God want? You'll be where God wants you to be 10 years from now if you'll just be where God wants you to be tomorrow. And then on Saturday, and then on Sunday, and then on Monday, and you just seek to live the book, to do what God says, to be a faithful Christian, and just follow him on a day-by-day basis and develop a relationship with him, you'll look back 10 years from now and you'll say, how did I get here? It's like, God brought you that way day by day. Too often, we want all the answers for 5 years from now, and I'm not saying don't plan or look ahead to the future, but we want all the answers for 5 years from now when God says, that'll be taken care of if you'll just follow me tomorrow. Because I got that light for your path. Let's pray.